Well, greetings to each one of you in our precious Savior's name, and it is a real joy to be together around God's Word. And let's read out of the book of Numbers for our first reading. Let's read Numbers chapter 14. Here, sorry for the delay. I actually wrote down the wrong scripture, and I'm looking for it. Because I wrote down Numbers 14, 6 through 9. The scripture where they came back with a report, the spies came back with a report, and Joshua and Caleb said, you know, God will be with us. So I'm looking for that right now. So just bear with me just a second here, please. Did a little Bible study here this morning. If you're okay, I'm okay. So we'll just take a breath and we'll find it. It is, I'm sorry, it is 14:6. It just didn't seem right. Thank you for being patient. Just a little delay here. It is right. It just didn't look right to me. I apologize. So let's read Numbers 14, beginning at verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And let's stop reading there. And let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn number 101, God's Exaltation, hymn number 101. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we do bow before Thee this morning, and we're thankful, Lord, that Thou art a great God, that even as we read in Numbers that Thou was with those that believed in Thee, with Caleb and Joshua, and Lord, that Thou wouldst guide them and direct them and be close to them and near them, and even a God that was face to face. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art that kind of God, and that Thou dost know us and understand us, and Father, that Thou art an omnipotent God that is with us. And so we thank Thee and praise Thee. And Lord, as Thou art revealed as a God of long-suffering and of mercy and a God of forgiveness, Father, we thank Thee for that. And Lord, we desire to worship Thee in this day. We desire to follow Thee. And Father, we desire that Thy Word would become a lamp to our feet, that Thy Word would become our delight, and that Thy Word would cause us to have faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Father, we trust Thee this day for Thy Spirit to teach us. Father, we do not want to speak out of a vision, out of our own heart, but out of the mouth of the Lord. So, Father, thanks for being a God that's wanting to communicate with us, that's wanting to talk to us. And even as we read Thy Scripture, Lord, we are thankful for the teachings of it, and this is the Word of life. And Lord, man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So help us be attentive this morning. Father, we ask Thy Spirit to teach and guide and direct. And we pray that Thy name would be honored and glorified even today. So Father, just again, open our hearts and open our minds and open our understandings, that we can behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And change us for Your glory. And Father, we know that that's what Thou dost desire. And Lord, we are thankful for Thy love. We're thankful for Thy sovereign will. We're thankful for all that Thou hast done for us. And even as we'll read, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we thank Thee for the many promises. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been walking through the book of Romans, and we're going to continue on that path. So let's go to the book of Romans. We're at chapter 8. And we're going to read at the end. We're going to start reading it, verse 28. Romans 8, starting at verse 28, and we'll read to the end. You know, there's really some wonderful scriptures as we go through this, and just some wonderful truths that God will share with us this morning. And a brother in Gridley told me one time, he said, what you need to do is you need to learn the Word, then you need to love the Word, then you need to live the Word. And I wrote that down. And he had, you know, so I appreciate that. So we're going to learn the Word a little bit. And it's familiar. I mean, this Word is you know this, a lot of these passages, I mean, these verses in here. But we want to review them. So we want to learn it, and then we love it, and then we live it. So let's start reading it at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's just some great, great promises in there. Many of you have the little Haley's Bible handbook at home. If you look in that, it says that this is one of the most magnificent passages in the Scripture. Romans 8. And in it, I just thought, well, I'm going to Google some of the favorite passages in the Bible. What are some of the favorite passages? And this shows up on different lists. So I don't know if it would be on your list, you know, of kind of favorite passages or go-to passages or passages that are really encouraging, but certainly this falls in that category. Now, it helps my mind just a little bit to kind of get a little bit of the flow, what we've covered so far in Romans. I think Romans 1-3 talks about sin and, you know, that we're guilty. And then starting again, like verse 21 of chapter 3, it talks then about our justification. And that goes through chapter 5. So first it talks about sin, talks about justification. And this ends sort of the section on sanctification. And, you know, or Christ making, God making us righteous. You know, we come to Christ, we're justified by his blood, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And now we're made righteous with the help of the Spirit. That helps me just a little bit with context, because it comes to, and then starting with chapter 9 starts a new section of Paul's thought and how the Holy Spirit leads him. And isn't 28 just a classic verse? I mean, Romans 8:28. It's a go-to verse. It's so precious. And again, the context of this, you know, if we back up, even into just back up a few verses, look at verse 18. In Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And it's kind of talking about suffering. You know, it's a passage dealing with suffering. So here we come to this the verse that says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. And I look back in my own life and I think, is that true? I say, yes. I look back in the lives of and testimonies of other people. Is that true? That things work together for good. You know, I know there's situations in my life I think, you know, this is just not what I would choose. You know, and Paul also said that. You know, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that this might depart from me. And Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So here, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And what's a classic example in Scripture of God working something for good? Well, the example I think about is Joseph. Somebody else thought about that too. Good. So good job. I saw somebody acknowledge, yeah, it's Joseph. That's what they were thinking. Now, you remember what Joseph said in chapter 50 of Genesis? He said, brothers, after dad died, he thought that his brothers thought that they could be in trouble. They came to him and they said, they repeated what their father had told them. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil. And you think of his life, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I think that's just such it's a verse that we just need to learn, and we need to love, and then we need to live. I mean, it's an awesome verse. Just the fact that, I mean, God uses all things together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I think it's awesome just the fact that we can accept, you know, one of the charges for us in life is to accept God's dealings, accept God's dealings in our life without rebellion. And then also to accept man's injustices without retaliation. But, you know, God's dealings without rebellion, you know, sometimes we do. We just got a heart, you know, God, what are you doing? You know, is this the right thing? Yes. All things work together for good. And God works all those things out for good as we love him and as we are called according to his purpose. But what is his purpose? What is God's purpose in life for us? What would you say? Well, it's right in the text. You know, the next verse talks about his purpose. So, what his purpose is. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That is so important. You know, what is God's heart for you and I? God's heart for you and I is that we'd be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, and I think of beauty contests. You know, maybe I don't know what comes to your mind, but does God have would God do beauty contests? Well, yes, he would. I saw this. Well, I'll qualify that. I saw this one shirt this child had, and it said, "I'm beautiful on the inside." And I go, "Oh, that is so good." You know, I am beautiful on the inside. I love that. But then I went on to read and say it says it was an advertisement for a Pop-Tart. You know, I mean, it's beautiful on the inside. No, I mean, God's ideal is to be beautiful on the inside. That's his goal, that we be conformed to the image of his son. And think about that. What's your purpose in life? What's my purpose in life? What's God's purpose for us? He works all things for good. And then he's using that to conform us to the image of Christ. That's such an awesome, powerful, wonderful truth. To be conformed to the image of his son. Remember what Romans 12 says? Talking about being conformed. And what it means is to be squeezed into the mold. You know, I don't know if they still have it, Museum of Science and Industry. You put, what did we put in the machine? Was it four quarters? And then it was fascinating. You get ahead of Abraham Lincoln. You know, and the plastic comes down. You put your money in, the plastic comes down, and it squeezes into this mold. And this mold, you know, then it pops out. And, you know, and it says here, we need to be conformed to the image of his son. The beauty contest that Jesus likes is what's on the inside. It's like a Pop-Tart. in a sense. It's what's on the inside. That's the important thing, what's on the inside. And Jesus says, what I want for you is the character. Come and learn of me. And what is this character? I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your souls. Meek and humble. Part of his part, just such, and that's a beautiful thing. A person that's meek is able to, the definition of meek and meekness is limiting our power. Limiting and realizing the power comes from God. You know, to be meek. And Jesus was meek. You know, he said he could have called 1,000 angels. He could have done a lot of things. He reserved that. He resisted that temptation to be meek and to be humble. And what does he say in the first thing that came out of his mouth? On the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Talking about humility. Blessed are they that mourn. Talking about sorrowing for sin. Blessed are they, the meek. He says that again. He repeats that in there. Then also, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you see, this is the character that we want to, because it's like Christ. He's teaching that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's to be squeezed in the mold of Christ. To be like Jesus is what his desire is. To be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, we talk about that verse at school. Anybody can be a troublemaker. You know, it's so easy to be a troublemaker. You don't even have to work at that. You know, it comes natural. Ask your children. Look at your children. Are they peacemakers or are they troublemakers? Troublemaking comes so easily, doesn't it? You don't have to. But if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to be conformed to Jesus, you'd be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they're children of God. You know, that's what God wants for us. He says to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I just so appreciate that. Look at verse. We'll stay with that verse. No, let's go to 29. I'm sorry. Yeah, 29. That's having trouble with verses today. 29. For whom he foreknew, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the images of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. That word foreknow, I really like that word. For whom he foreknew. You know it means that God knew us. God knew us from the foundation of the world, and God wants to know us. Even as we read in the Old Testament, He wants to speak to us face to face. And the word has some connotations even in the Old Testament of like Adam knew his wife. Adam knew her intimately, and that's what Christ. And God knows us intimately, and He wants to conform us to that image, and He wants to have that fellowship with us. And I don't understand what all these. I mean, I do to a point. We're not going to take too much time on these words, even as far as He did predestinate us. To be conformed, it's a truth that we believe. God foreknew us, God knows everything, and He predestinated us to be squeezed into the mold of Christ. That's exactly what we want. And then, as verse 30, then who He predestinated, He called, and whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He glorified. And it seems today that this is this passage. Could I say could be contentious? I could probably say some things that would even right now that would divide this audience. You know, and it's not worth it to me. You know, we've got some on this side. We've got some on this side. And to me, that like I say, that's. Really not, it's important, and we don't want to diminish Scripture, but we also, at least to me, you know, it's not worth the arguing over, you know, or the strife over, or staying up late at night. You know what I? There are the passages I want to emphasize in here are that all things work together for good. That's such a key thing, and that God wants us to be squeezed in the image of Christ. God wants us to be like Jesus, and God will do the work. It says He's predestined us, He's called us, and that's really true. Think about that. Timothy says, "Who has saved us?" He saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works. It's not according to what we've done, but it's His purpose and grace, which was given us into Christ Jesus before the world began. It's His purpose and grace. He calls us. It says He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He called us. He justified us. And He's going to glorify us someday. You know, it's His work. It's God's work within us. And again, you know, just the whole idea of predestination and so on, I don't think it's worth it. It splits churches over. You know, that doctrine will split churches. You know, and I think about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross comes to heaven, and they ask the thief on the cross, why did you get here? And he says, well, the man on the middle cross said that I could come here. And they say, would you know anything about predestination? He says, well, I'm really sorry, I don't. What I know is what Jesus told me. Do you know anything about being called and justified? He said, well, you know, I really don't know much about that either. Well, and how about, you know, being glorified? And that, of course, that's the time He's going to be glorified with Jesus. He didn't know too much about that. He says, all I know is about Jesus. You know, Jesus is one. He that has the Son has life. And again, I don't want to just gloss over that, but, you know, there are certain things that we just don't, at least I don't totally understand. And there are certain things I let the tension lie. I can let this passage just sit here and move on. I'll let that tension lie. There is tension. But can we just let, can we live with the tension? Can we love with the tension? Can we, I think we can. I think we can do that. Now some of you say, no, we can't. We gotta fix this doctrine. Well, that's, you know, maybe. We gotta come, you know, we gotta land on this. We gotta land somewhere. You know, take a stand. It's black and white. Well, you know, again, I think in my mind, if you go to Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I mean, there's certain things, it's just hard to understand. Peter said that. He said, I don't understand some of these things that Paul wrote. Why do we have to dot every I, cross every T, get everything figured out? I don't think we have to, in my mind. That's just my take on that. And how about Isaiah 55? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I mean, there are certain things exclusive to God. They're my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth. That's certainly true. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I rest in that. How about Deuteronomy 29:29? It talks about, you know, there are mysteries reserved for God. Just very quickly, if you take a piece of paper, let's take this piece of paper in my pocket. Whose birthday card is it? Let me look. Michaela, is she here today? This is a two-dimensional birthday card. Okay? So if you live in a two-dimensional world, you say, okay, let's talk about three dimensions. Person in the two-dimensional world say, okay, I understand two dimensions. It's why I can turn this paper this way, one way, turn it the other way. Okay, I can turn it the second way, turn it the third way. There is no third way. I can't turn this the third way. It's a two-dimensional world. But you go to a third-dimensional world, you can turn it the third way, right? There's three dimensions. You can, you know, it changes. Could become a cube. So there are different dimensions. I just propose, in my mind, I propose, well, I've heard, and it makes sense in my mind, God could be in the 10th dimension. How can we understand God? How can we figure this all out? Is that enough said? My wife says yes. Move on. Thank you. She said, don't camp on that. You know, I was going to camp on there a little longer. No, don't camp on it. I mean, there's so many great truths here. We don't want to camp on this too long. Or you're going to miss some of the other great truths. What time is it? Man, we've only got... Let's keep moving. Okay, I just don't understand it totally. But I can rest with the tension of predestination and free will. It's okay with me. I don't lose sleep at night. So anyway, if that's an encouragement to you, praise the Lord. If not, talk to our elder. Okay, let's move on. Because, like I say, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? You know, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, that is such an... It's the same... It's like the New Testament passage I read. If God be for us, can we go into that land? Yes, we can. If God be for us, can we be victorious? Yes, we can. If God is for us, can we accomplish what God wants us to do, His purpose? Yes, we can. I love that. God is for us. I've got a student... I think the illustration I thought of is I got a student in class. He's trying to learn his password for ST math. He has to, there's three cubes, and each one has about 9 pictures, and he's got to pick the pictures. And they train him and train him and train him. Well, he's kind of absent-minded. Mr. Blair, why are they mowing the yard out there? Well, because it's time to mow. Now get back and get your password. Mr. Blair, is Edie coming in today? Get back to your password. Mr. Blair, they forgot to turn the sign around on the bathroom. It's supposed to be, I know, get to work. But, you know, I am with that kid. And it's like with God. You know, he's going to get it. I'll guarantee he's going to get it. I'm going to stay with him, and he's going to accomplish that task. He will get it done. I guarantee you. He's got enough ability. It's just sometimes he gets a little spacey. Now, how does that relate? God is for us. God is with us. God is here. God is in us. His Holy Spirit. We read about that. The Holy Spirit is within us to strengthen us, to put to death the old, to resurrect the new. God is with us. God is for us. You know what? We think, oh, can I walk to the barn? I remember as a young boy, it was so dreadful for me to walk out to our barn in the dark of night. It just gave me the goosebumps walking out by myself. But I would do it. I just maybe out of pride, I don't know, because I didn't want to ask my brothers to go with me. You know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you go? You know. Dad, get going the barn. So I'd go out the barn. I'd be just shivering on the way all out, you know, like with the scary shivers. And then my sons or daughters, I remember, you know, say, asking them to get something in our barn. Now, I remember them saying, Dad, would you go with me? And it was so sweet. I said, yes, I will. I remember those days. And, you know, I tell you, take their hand and you walk out with them. And there's something powerful about being with Dad, isn't there? I mean, that skunks will not bother you. Raccoons will not bother you. Wildcats will not bother you. And whatever else you can imagine. Bears and lions and... Dad's with me. And God says, I'm with you. I love that passage. It's so good. If God be with us and God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. There's no one that can be against us. If God is with us, God is on our side. That's such a beautiful, beautiful promise. Look at 32. We've got to keep moving. And boy, I mean, probably the best thing to do with this passage is just memorize it. Put it in your heart. You know, so these verses can come back and encourage us during the struggle. During times of struggle, all things work together for good. God's conforming me to His image, using these struggles to conform me to His image. And someday He's going to glorify me. And God is with me. If God be for us and with us, who can be against us? Verse 32, excellent, excellent verse. Look at this. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What? Think about that. God did not spare anything. God could have given us angels. In fact, He did. What do you need? As a believer, what do you need? God says, listen, I've sent my Son to die on the cross for what you've done wrong. I've sent Him to bear your burden. I've sent Him to take away your shame, to take away your guilt, to forgive you. Listen, and if I send Him, won't I provide other things? The answer is totally yes. If He gave His Son, if He allowed His Son to take that punishment, to take the blackness of sin and of evil, and to pay for that on the cross, won't He give us other things? Again, context, go back. What does He give us? You know, He gives us the Spirit. I mean, what to go with us, to strengthen, to help, and to provide for us. If he spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He will. Now think of this story. I don't know what you guys like. What's on your Christmas list? Okay, what's on your Christmas list? Something popping up in your mind you'd like for Christmas? Think about it. Okay, you know, one thing I wanted for Christmas was this little Mattel football game. It had like five buttons and, you know, you'd play this little Mattel football game. So you get it for Christmas. So awesome. You open this little football game up. It's a little green rectangle, and it beeps. Dee, 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 dee. Some of you, maybe a few of you know. And it was just, I mean, we could spend lots of time on that. But you know what? No batteries included. You'd get it on Christmas Day. No batteries included. What are you going to do with the thing? What a shock. You can't even play the game. Batteries aren't included. That's not the way God is. God includes whatever you need. He'll include batteries. You need batteries for the game? It'll be there. You need strength? God will give you strength. You need peace? God will give you peace. You need help? God will give you help. You need forgiveness? God will give you forgiveness. I like that. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him give you whatever you need? Give you anything you need. That is such a rich promise. Let's finish the chapter. To 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I mean, who's going to lay... Actually, let's just do two verses and we'll finish it. 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who's He that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, as even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Now, who is it that's going to condemn us? You know, it's very interesting because sometimes, just think about this kind of in general. Sometimes the people that have not repented feel justified. You know, they kind of feel justified. This week I asked a person, I said, if you were to stand before God, and He said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And she said, well, I've done some pretty good things. You know, I've been pretty good. You know, I tried, and she told me some things she tried to do. And you know what? Do you think she feels justified? Yes, I think she feels justified. Sometimes people that in the world, they feel justified because they compare themselves to people around them. And then sometimes Christians feel condemned. Isn't that interesting? Satan will try to fool the non-believer into believing they're okay. And Satan will try to fool the believer into thinking they're not okay. Hey, look at this. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's God that justifieth. God's doing the justification. Who's going to condemn? It's Christ who died, yet there's risen again, who's at the right hand of God, who also maketh the intercession for us. Remember Romans 2, though? Who judges us? Jesus will judge us. I mean, he is the judge. He'll judge our works. He's going to bring our works into judgment. But you know what? He's not a condemning Jesus, though. He's not a condemning God. He said, my blood is paid for your sins. And that's... He's not going around. Satan is a lot of times. Now, if we're doing things wrong, our heart should condemn us if we've done things wrong. And we should repent. And we should change. And that would be our desire. Romans 6, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, and know ye not that so many of us are back, you know, and it goes on. No, let's walk in a newness of life. And that's what God desires. But Satan will condemn us. You know, the accuser of brother. He'll sneak around. He'll whisper. He may be whispering right now. This reminds me of this cute little boy in my class one year. He said, boy, I went to church, Mr. Blair. I said, you did? What'd they talk about? He says, well, the preacher kicked the devil right out of the church. I said, he did? Yes, kicked the devil right out of the church. And he swung his foot, and just like I get this little boy did, just swung his foot, just like kicked the devil right out of the church. It's kind of what I feel like right now, in a sense. You know, Satan can come in. He can whisper in your ear. He says, you are condemned. No. Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? Listen, God justified you. It's his blood that forgave you. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. He's risen again. Who's at the right hand of God. And he's interceding for us. He's. Thank you, Jesus. You know, for interceding right now. Thanks for dying. Thanks for interceding for us. Right now. He's interceding. And we read about that even earlier. And Paul reminds us of that. And remember what Romans 8:1 says? That's a great scripture. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no... Right. That's exactly right. 80% of you got it. There is therefore now no condemnation. Yeah, there's no kind of, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What an important truth. And so Jesus is not going to condemn us in the sense of he's paid the price. Again, if we need to repent, we may need to change. Let's finish the chapter. We're not doing too bad as far as time. You keeping track of the time? We're not doing too bad. Let's go. We're almost got it. Told Brother Joe I may have to go another week on this. You could go a month on this. Listen, you could go a month. You could go a long time on this. I'm telling you. Okay, 35. A great promise. Verses that we should have hidden in our heart. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I really like that. You know, Paul says that I am different. Now, he's got some I am statements. He says right here, I am persuaded. And remember in Romans 1, some of the I am statements? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's great. I love that, Paul. He says, you know, a couple other I am statements I forget right now. But here he says, I am persuaded. I'm convinced. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, and that's so true. Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, is there another way? Can you think of a different way? And the Father said, no. And Jesus went through with that. Did anything separate him? Man, I think of that pain. I think of that, the 6 hours of intense, excruciating pain. Jesus said, I'd like to go another way. And the Father said, no. This is what I want. Did anything separate him? Think of Paul. And really, we probably ought to turn to that. Because it's so, I think it's such a great scripture. Either that or listen to it. But if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, this is Paul. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. Think of Paul's life. And Paul wrote this. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Wow. 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. What would Paul cry out? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he said, I am persuaded. You know, I am convinced that death is not going to separate me. Life is not going to separate me. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just what a wonderful promise. What about the Egyptian, the Coptic Egyptians that were martyred? What a story. Remember the story that ISIS martyred them? They were 21 men. They were day laborers. They went into Libya to labor. They were kidnapped. They were held, and they were pressed and tortured for their faith. But what a testimony of the character of these young men. 45 days after the initial kidnapping, they were held for 45 days. And obviously, what would the families be like? There were days of silent torment, fear, anxiety, sleeplessness, and nonstop crying. 45 days. They didn't know what happened to their fathers. They didn't know what happened to their sons. They didn't know what happened to their brothers. You know, what would you do for 45 days? Then the news came. They had been gruesomely murdered. You know, and of course the town was stunned. But then there was a change. You know, certainly there was grief, but grief gave way to joy. Their grief turned to joy. And these folks actually felt a sense of gratitude. Listen to this. This is what the account says. These folks actually felt a sense of gratitude toward ISIS for ushering their beloved men into Christ's presence. And they prayed for the terrorists. What shall separate these men? You know, they were asked, will you change your allegiance to Christ? No, no. And they were killed. What shall separate us? I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think of Edie's father that passed away in November. He'd wake up and he'd say, have I gone to heaven? Have I died? I mean, he was ready to die. So ready to die. And he kept the faith in. I just love, love is life in a sense. Having done all to stand with Jesus. I think of my dad, died 4 days later. And he kind of was whispering to my brother. And he said, will you help me? And my brother says, Jim says, yeah, I'll help you, Dad. And then he kind of cried out to the Lord and he says, God, will you help me? I don't think he said God, but will you help me be faithful? Will you help me be faithful? He was nearing the end. Will you help me be faithful? He had just a short time left. And God says, yes, I will help you be faithful even to the end. That's what these promises are about. It's not our strength. It's not our effort. It's not our wisdom. It's not our money. It's not our might. It's not by might nor by power. It's by God's Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And this is what this passage is about. It ends the section on sanctification. We can rejoice in this. We can rejoice that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can rejoice that we've been foreknown and predestinated and we're conformed to the image of His Son. We should rejoice in that. We should rejoice in the fact that we'll be glorified someday. We'll rejoice in the fact that God is with us. These all are such great promises. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Listen, He'll provide. He will provide for us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, when you feel condemned, when you feel like, you know, that whisper, and I'm not kicking Satan out of the room, but I'm telling you, Satan will come and whisper in your ear things that are wrong. Satan will whisper things in your ear. He does that. But Jesus says, listen, I love you. I died for you. I saved you. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will these things separate us? Let's finish with 2 Timothy. And then we're going to sing it. First I'll read it, then we'll sing it, okay? We're going to sing 2 Timothy 1:12. So hang on, we'll get it to you. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Paul's talking. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And then such encouraging words. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. You know, God says, work out your own salvation. He says, with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's God that'll work within us. It'll God that'll give us strength. But look, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Isn't that a beautiful word? Take your... we're not supposed to sing yet. Sing now. Sing now? Okay, let me finish up. I'm finishing up, sorry. I shouldn't give this hymn out. Man, what was I thinking? I am sorry. I'm off my game today. Sorry about that. And I don't mean that wrong. I'm just saying, you know, I couldn't find the passage to start with, and now I'm closing myself. Terrible. Hymn 109 in the Hymns of Zion. Let's sing that hymn together. And then would one of you brothers pray, please? Let's sing hymn 109.
Thank you. Kind Father in heaven, humbly we bow our hearts before thee in prayer, seeking grace to pray. We thank thee for thy word and the promises therein. We thank thee for the example thou did leave even of the Israelite people and how they were commanded that they should not rebel against the Lord, but they should, and they should not fear the people, but they should put their trust in the Lord and be obedient unto him. And help us, we would have our hearts set upon serving thee, the great God, thou who knowest all things about us and thou dost care for us. And again, we've been reminded that thou didst send thy son and he did go unto the cross, did give his life and shed his blood to make it possible that we could have this hope to someday live with thee forever. And we know this is the most precious, most valuable thing. There is nothing more important upon earth than that we make ready to meet our God. And we pray for grace to overcome. We pray strengthen our faith and draw us closer unto thee and help us to love thee and serve thee with our whole heart. We do know we come short and pray thy forgiveness for us, that thou would strengthen us and help us so we can become more pleasing to thee. We know that thou dost know each care and each need, and we do pray for all people that thou would strengthen and that thou would heal where it can be thy will, that thou would comfort the sorrowing and uplift those that are discouraged. And we just pray that thou would be near to each one and pray that all would seek thy nearness. Help our lives to be that proper light. Go with us further on. Guide our hearts and our minds. May thy will be done. We pray and thank thee through Jesus' name. Amen.